This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
7:03 on a Friday. This is the morning shift. I am Bo Morgan. He is Abe Gordon. Apparently I can't call him Abraham anymore. We learned last segment.
He's not Abraham. You can still call me that. Just know it's not my actual name. That's all.
Are you confused on the day of the week, or were you yesterday?
No.
I was, man. I kept thinking it was Monday tomorrow. I thought yesterday was Sunday or Monday, and today was like starting a full week. And like I literally thought that multiple times.
Bo, I'm always going to know when Friday's rolling around. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm always going to know when Friday's rolling around. Just in general.
Is there a reason? I mean,
because Friday, which is better than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
I don't know. It gets lost on me during the football season because
I understand that
because it's like 7 days a week. So you're like, wait, what's today? It is a Friday, which believe it or not, so it's cool. So we'll work a day. I'll have tomorrow off, and then Falcons Saints will be on Sunday, the final game of the 2025 season, and it comes down to you're not going to make the playoffs, but you can finish on a good note. You can go out, beat your rival. I can't imagine anybody is not wanting to beat the hell out of the Saints on Sunday, right? Like, that's the goal is to beat.
You want the real answer?
Well, I know the real answer, but I mean, I really wanted your answer.
For different reasons. Oh, I want them to beat the Saints, yes. I think there's certainly a sect of this fan base that is wants change, wants...
Yeah, but I don't think this game, and I don't think this game means change.
Maybe you don't think so.
The only way this game would bring change is if you went out there and got beat like the Panthers beat you in week 3, or maybe the Seahawks beat you the other day a couple weeks ago. Like, if you lose this game, it's not going to bring change, and you would have to just not show up.
I agree. It's not certainly not going to be coming down to this one game to make the decision. I think there are people who might feel differently. I think there are people who say to themselves, boy, if you finish 4-0, there's no shot they're firing him. But if you finish 3-1 with a home loss to the Saints, could that change? Now, I tend to agree with you. I don't think it comes down to this game. I think the Rams game had a much bigger impact than this one.
Yeah, I would tell you.
In that discussion, if that was even a discussion to begin with.
Just my personal thought. No one's. I don't have any information any way, which way or the other. I think the decision's already made. I think the decision's already
one
made.
One way, I don't know which the decision is.
I don't know what it is.
But
I'm just telling you, I think it's already made.
Yes, I agree.
Unless you would have to have. So a couple years ago when Arthur Smith got fired, going into the Chicago game, I thought if you won one of those games or if you lost both closely, he had a really good chance of coming back. The reality was you lost both of those by double digits, I believe. I know the Saints game you did, and then they had the incident with Jameis and the kneel down, and then Arthur has the moment in midfield with Dennis Allen, and then he's gone, right? He was gone that night, basically. Obviously this is a scenario different, but I don't feel the same going into this game. I think you would have to absolutely just be embarrassed on Sunday, and then maybe whatever the thought process is, it would change it. But going into it, whether it's good or bad, I think the decision's already made.
I think it'd be a real problem for the organization if it weren't, one way or the other.
Yeah, if the
result of this game against the Saints
matters,
in Week 18 swings your decision, then there's much larger issues here with the organization. And I agree with you. I don't think that's the case. Do I think maybe the decision was still up in the air before this 3-0 run? Potentially. I think now that you've gone 3 if it were up in the air and it swang one way, then I understand it. Not sure I would agree with it, but I would understand it.
All right. Before we went to break, I said if you could make a resolution.
You don't like that word, though.
I don't like it.
Let me tell you what we do.
My run club, New Year's resolution.
Run club, we have an intention run. A New Year's intentions. So it's not a resolution. It's what our intent is this year.
I don't like resolutions because I don't think you should wait till the calendar year turns to decide to change. Because most of the time,
if you want to start eating healthy December 13th, then do it then. Why wait 2.5 weeks?
Well, I think that's stupid because you know you're going to break it on Christmas. But I know your point. I'm not going to argue. That's me arguing yes. semantics. But you're right. I absolutely believe if you want to make a change in life. And you feel strongly enough that it needs to be made, you should go ahead and do it, especially if it's that big a one. That said, Garrett was doing our stuff, and he was like, I think it would be cool, and I tend to agree with him. So, Garrett, you can feel free to chime in as well. But let's go through it. If you were making a resolution, we're going to do the Falcons. Let's go ahead and get to the Falcons as we were talking about them. If you're going to make a resolution for the Falcons for the New Year's, what would it be? And give a quick hit on the why.
And I took this to mean something you can control, something you can focus on, right? I hire a winning head coach is not a resolution.
That's silly, yes.
Okay, so with that in mind, I tried to take it from this angle. I said the Falcons' resolution or intent this year should be to better support the quarterback. And I come at that from a number of different angles. I think the quarterback was let down in roster management and some of the depth issues you had, especially with the receiving core, especially when Drake went down. I think the quarterback was let down from a level of consistency from some of the receivers and from Kyle Pitts. And quite frankly, I do think the quarterback, whether it's Cousins or Penix, was let down from a offensive approach and play calling at times as well. So for the 2026-2027 NFL season for the Falcons, whoever the quarterback is, better support that man.
I absolutely love that. I absolutely love that one because I think it is much needed. I do believe that in a lot of ways they tried to cater to what the quarterback wanted, almost to the detriment of the quarterback and them. And I think that's why you've seen kind of the way the offense has ran since Cousins. You know, honestly, for me, I would find a way to continue to strengthen the defense and mainly the front seven. I understand, and it also depends on who's here coaching, but the run defense can be helped by getting a guy up front that fits a run stopper. The problem is, can they play the same way? So maybe trying to address that, or you're going to have to figure out what you want to do with Caden, and does that mean if Ulbrich's here, you go find another Divine Diablo type?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go, Bo. It's lean into this new defensive identity that you've been forming, and it starts in the front seven. So I completely agree. You also need to make sure that you have that secondary cornerback position figured out. I mean, Mike Hughes has been solid, but you haven't made a massive investment in that position. Maybe that's something that you can look into. But Caden Ellis is the first big decision, and then the defensive tackle spot. I mean, alongside of your young dogs who are coming up, you need some run stoppers, and you need some guys who can really jump in and do that.
And for the record, David Onyemata's played great. So has Lakell Lynn. They've done much better recently against stopping the run, even against L.A. All right, real quick, Hawks.
I don't care which way it forks, but come to a conclusion on the future of Trae Young with his team.
Isn't that the only answer for the Hawks? Like, do you have a different answer?
No, it's lean into your new identity.
I don't even care if it's with or without.
I don't either.
Make a decision, lean into it, and go.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think that's the only answer. I know I'm not going to be mad either way. I think I know what I would do, but the reality is you have to, and I think that's what this year was meant to be. I think if we're all being honest.
Except that we played 42 minutes with Jalen, Kristaps, and Trae on the court together in 20-something games.
That's why I use the word meant.
Yeah, I know.
Braves.
Again, this is not just like spend money and bring in another ace or add another high-powered, power-hitting bat. Like, I'm doing something that I think is realistic that they can maybe accomplish. So I went with figure out Acuna and where he fits best in the lineup and leave him there. And this is not just for 1 year. This is a where's he going to hit for the next 7-8 years of his future
with
this team.
But don't we know? And I like it. I like it.
Because they've already talked this offseason about we don't know yet where he's going to hit.
Well, yes, but Walt did tell Grant down at the winter meetings that I think he wanted him. I think I want to get it right because if not, Grant will text me, which is cool. I don't mind him texting me. But I think the line was basically figure out, like, I want to talk to Ronnie and make sure he's cool, but he'd like him. I think that we know the leadoff spot's at. I would it's the interesting one for me. I'm not about the whole frontline thing and like everybody makes such a big deal about you got to do this and that. They have quality frontline guys. To me, it's something that Alex Anthopoulos talked about with Dukes and Bell late last year, and he says we're always going to be able to go and be in the top 7 or 8 of the payroll in baseball. What that gets us is quality frontline guys. We don't have the money to do depth. And what I would say is find a way to can have continued depth. They've done a good job of that with young players, but they've never done it with maybe the journeyman type player at certain positions. They've tried to use journeyman position guys at starting positions to plug holes where they didn't re-sign guys.
Well,
like
they just
Dansby.
Can't sustain depth because the unfortunate injury on the pitching staff
well,
up and down.
And also has to do with money. So. You got anything real quick, Garrett? It's different.
No, it was simple as spin, baby, spin. But the thing is, you guys discussed it a lot better than I would. So
you have to sell, baby, sell, and you have to get an individual owner, and that doesn't necessarily guarantee success. The one thing I'll say about Liberty Media, like him or not, is they know that the Braves' sweet spot is at least competing for playoffs because that makes the battery money. And look, I'm in on it. All right, coming up next, there's a couple of games in the NFL this weekend that will define who's in, or just basically decide who's playing in the playoffs. And we'll give you those and how they play out next on the Morning Shift Sports Show 99 on the game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in and half the time I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the Morning Shift. Abe Gordon, Bo Morgan. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We had a couple of really enjoyable, at least for a time, college football games over the past couple of days. I thought it became relatively clear, obviously, that Indiana was going to handle business. Squid, Oregon, Dan Lanning did everything he could to keep Texas Tech in this game. In the first half, but ultimately the talent, the speed, the physicality of Oregon won out in the second half. What did you just, and we're going to get to the NFL here in just a moment when we go in the huddle, but what did you make of Dan Lanning scoring with, I don't know, a second on the clock there to drive the point home?
I didn't do anything for anybody that watched the game. I mean, I think it's a little bit silly. And what's he doing? Is he trying to get votes? There's no reseeding.
Yeah.
I mean, was he trying to be like, look how – is he trying to make it where when people box score read in a few years, if Oregon was to win it, be like, man, look how dominant Oregon was.
If you watched the game, you saw how dominant Oregon was. And I don't think 23-0 versus 16-0 changed
that. What were they like, four of eight on fourth downs. I mean, I don't.
Kept it a one possession game where Texas Tech could climb into it.
I would tell you they weren't as dominant as you might think. Now, defensively, both teams I thought played really well, but it's 6-0, and Morton is Uyunglele has a strip sack of Morton, and then they score on a short field. That makes it 13-0. They make it 16-0, I believe, on another short field.
Yeah.
And then they make it 23-0 on another short field.
With no time on the clock.
So they were not dominant. It wasn't like they dominated both sides of the football. Did Oregon move the ball? Yeah, they did. But Texas Tech's defense played pretty well. Texas Tech's offense was just that bad.
Yes.
And you can give a lot of credit to Oregon's defense, but Morton just missed stuff too.
He had one of those days. He just had one of those days where it was not connecting.
And that you can attribute that to Russ. Now maybe they didn't you can attribute that to Russ.
Maybe. Or a guy just had a bad day. I mean, guys who aren't rusty or haven't rested also just have bad days. It may have just been one of those days. Either way, Oregon handles business. But, yeah, I know you had mentioned the Jamal Williams touchdown at the end of the game for the Saints a couple years ago, and that kind of made me think back. It's like, yeah, Oregon kind of did the same thing. Game was over. Take the knee.
I think it's silly. I think it's I would say unprofessional because they were getting paid now. There's no need in it. Like, you've won the game. What's the point? Now, I also was a fan of Steve Spurrier, and he did it. And
different
said,
reasons, though.
Yes, but he did it. He did it for different reasons. Yeah, ran up the score like
right.
that.
Well, but you had to. You had to impress people and impress computers. And
yeah, I don't
they
know.
Took that
I don't know what you need to do that for in a playoff game where
right.
nothing is changing after. So I agree with you there. I know we're getting to NFL, but give me what you thought about the Miami-Ohio State game, because that was essentially the second-best game of the weekend, or the college football playoff weekend, or week. It's not a weekend.
Yeah, it was interesting because it made me question what Ohio State was to an extent. Like, obviously, Indiana pushed them around and handled business. To see Miami do it as well, although it wasn't overall surprising because – you got to remember, Miami's a team that was number one in the country for a third of the year, essentially, from week three to week six or whatever it is.
They started the season off hotter than anybody.
Right.
I would say that.
And
wins over Notre Dame and Florida.
Yes, they had slipped, and they had a game here, a game there that cost them an ACC championship berth and nearly cost them a spot in the playoffs. But I think we all kind of saw what they could do on, especially on defense, but on offense as well, but more so on defense. I also think they are well-rounded on offense. They have a pretty good line, but they can run the ball with Fletcher. They can get the ball outside to Tony and some of the guys they have as receivers too. The whole thing for them, is, and it's always been this way, is Carson Beck going to have one of those games?
Well, I was about to say that. It's almost like at times he holds them back, which is another reason why I think Mike Bobo deserves it. Crap ton of credit, because look how good Beck was with Bobo and with Brock Bowers, and Ladd McConkey didn't play a lot that season, honestly. And now look at the difference, right? Without, you know, when he doesn't have a Bobo and a Brock Bowers, but he's got Malachi Toney, who could be one of the best players in the country. The thing for me about Miami is their defensive line is playing just like it did against Notre Dame and like it did against Florida. And it I didn't watch every game to the same, but they hit a lull clearly in the middle of the season where that line did not play the same. And right now they're playing at an extremely high level, and it's why they're in the semis against Ole Miss. And obviously Georgia loses late last night on a field goal, and then a weird safety that we don't need to really talk about.
But did you enjoy that? That 15 throwback pass that led to Gunnar Stockton taking one more big hit?
Yeah.
Enjoy that one?
No.
Passes to lose 8 yards and then get your quarterback crushed?
I mean, it's just, yeah, yeah. And let's talk about the targeting. We got to get to the huddle, but talk about the targeting real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Targeting is a rule I don't like. I don't like guys getting ejected now that they're getting paid. I don't. Was it a defenseless receiver? It was absolutely the definite. It's by rule, it's the definition of what targeting is. Left his feet, made forcible contact to the other player's head or neck area. You can say that the guy was clearly being drugged around, and it was a decision. There was another way to tackle him. I don't care what you say. I've watched it. It was. Now, you can make the argument that it was targeting on Gunnar Stockton. And I would have accepted that, too. Again, I don't like players getting ejected. I cannot stand the fact that they eject guys. The difference, though, in those two was the contact from the Ole Miss player was made to the shoulder of Stockton, and he went to the side, and it did not – the side, it was not to the head. Now, it's head or neck area, but the Ole Miss defender hit Stockton in his shoulder. That's the difference in the call. You could call – I think they both should have been called, to be honest with you, as a personal foul, but not targeting. But by rule, by the law of the definition of that rule, that was targeting against the Georgia defender.
By the definition of the rule, yes. By making a football play, no. Now, again, I'm not saying it shouldn't be called. It has to be called because of what the rule is. But I have a lot of just general issues with the interpretation of the rule. You want to go with targeting in terms of leading with your head? I get it. He led with his shoulder. You want to try and make the argument of a defenseless receiver or whatever? I think by the time you commit yourself to making that tackle, to making that hit, who's to say that he's going to be defenseless? Who's to say what level his head or shoulders are going to be at if he's being dragged down, if he's breaking out of the tackle of the initial guy? It's just too many things are fluid, and it's not just in this one incident.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of times where you see what is targeting, and it's because the offensive player lowers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues I have with
that. The player was clearly going down, but it was the way he launched. I think there's a way to make that play without launching like that that doesn't get called. But
Bo, and this is going to sound such hard knocks, old school nonsense. We playing football or not, man?
You're playing it in 2025. That's what you got to remember.
My biggest thing is take a note out of basketball's playbook, because they do the technical fouls, flagrant one, flagrant two. If you do a targeting one and a targeting two, obviously if you do it twice, you get ejected. If you do a targeting
one. The old
one,
yellow card, red card system.
Exactly. Very, yeah. Very similar. It's simple. Why are we doing this? You're ejecting people for somebody who it may not be even a malicious hit. If it's malicious, fine.
I like the premise, but I think it's still. I think you're leaving too much open interpretation.
Still, yeah, I'd say still dealing with human interpretation.
You should still have some interpretation from the officials.
How do you feel like just going to the NFL rule? Mm-hmm. The NFL rule. The NFL way about it is it's personal fouls, defenseless receiver, but when it's extremely egregious, it can be reviewed and you can be kicked out. That would probably be the one that you should go to, right?
Because you eject this young man and it changes the entire complexion of this game. Make no mistake, he comes back in the second half. Trinidad Chambliss maybe doesn't start the possession or start the second half going to 12 of 12. It changed the entire game. It really changed the game.
All right. The Ravens and the Steelers are now somehow playing for the division title. And these games are, Saturday night? I think this game's the 4:30 kickoff. And if I'm not mistaken, and the Bucks-Panthers is the 8:30. I might have them flip, but they're both on ESPN ABC. Do you think either one, Harbaugh or Tomlin are on?
That's Sunday night. NBC.
That's right. That is Sunday night. This the Niners game.
Seahawks Niners is 8.
Is the 8 o'clock game, right?
Yeah.
You don't believe that Harbaugh is coaching for his job. The Tomlin one.
I've heard both.
Is different.
I've heard both people. The loser of this game needs to look out. And I.
Well, I think Tomlin's more. Well, don't you believe that Tomlin would be closer to it than Harbaugh?
Not really.
Why?
Because I don't think they're going to fire Tomlin. I think it's much more likely the Ravens, just in terms of like an actual firing.
Why? Why? Tell me why.
Honestly, I think this Ravens, the argument for the Ravens would be much more about underachieving than the argument for Tomlin and the Steelers in the last couple of years. I think the Ravens have been in real position to win Super Bowls, and the Steelers have not, in my opinion, in the last couple of years.
Okay. That's fair. What about the fact that John Harbaugh is a guy that he came in with a rookie quarterback and Joe Flacco, won a Super Bowl with him.
Okay.
Then turned around, was able to move on from said quarterback, and has had sustained success with him. Now, hasn't won one without him. The guy's 13-11 in the postseason, 180 wins, 193 total if you count the postseason. And Mike Tomlin is the guy that came in with a veteran quarterback. And I'm not knocking him. I'm just kind of play devil's advocate here. And won a Super Bowl with said quarterback. In his time frame, he's 192-114. And his postseason record is 8-11. And he's never won a postseason game without that veteran quarterback. And never was able to take another guy and turn him into a franchise quarterback.
Let me ask you a question about the Ravens. Do you think if they lose this game on Sunday night that they are done in terms of contending? Because if you feel that way, now would be the time.
I don't think they're done. I think it depends on what your internal view is on Lamar Jackson, because there have been reports out there that saying, I think it was the Baltimore Sun, maybe it was a reporter, a beat reporter, said that they think they don't like, they're unhappy with Lamar Jackson and how he handles meetings. He falls
all of
asleep,
this ties to the same place. If you're going to start over.
But
if you're going to try and continue what you have, I would say continue what you have.
I understand that, but this is one bad year for Harbaugh in a while. Now, he's had a losing season before, but it's been a while. I mean, he had a losing season, I think. They were 5-11-15. His only losing season was 2015. Other than that, he's had a 500 or better season. And the only difference is Tomlin. And I take that back. In 21, they were 8-9. But so two losing seasons, and then I think Tomlin's got like multiple 8-8s. That's the only thing. That's the whole thing that separates Tomlin really from so many people is he's never had a losing season. He's had three 8-8s, a 9-7, a 9-6-1, and they're 9-7 this year.
Is Mike Tomlin a good coach?
Yeah, I do.
Is John Harbaugh a good coach?
Yeah.
What's the likelihood you replace them with a better coach at this point? In their careers, in their coaching, whatever.
Based on everything that we've seen in hiring cycles, it's nowhere near as likely as you would be.
And I think that's part of your conversation is the grass is greener. Are you sure?
They're both, by the way, they're both Mike McCarthy. There's not a lot of difference between Mike McCarthy, John Harbaugh, and Mike Tomlin. In fact, going into this year, Tomlin and McCarthy had essentially the exact same record. It was just that one had more losing seasons and the other didn't have any. And that's an argument that is absolutely on there. All right, well,
if they both got fired, who would be a more desirable head coach elsewhere?
I would take either one right now.
I know, but pick one.
Honestly, I don't know. It's hard for me to say.
Good answer.
It's hard for me to say.
Glad we wrapped that up.
I don't know. What would you take?
I think Tomlin would be a hotter commodity than Harbaugh.
Oh, I think a hotter commodity, but doesn't mean better coach. You don't know. You can make an argument for all three of those guys of who's the better coach. It doesn't mean you're right or wrong, but you can make the argument, right? All right. Coming up next, was it Kirby, Schumann, Bobo? All three's fault that Georgia lost last night.
It's Cash Jones' fault and his fault alone.
Yeah, well, he has some media members in this market. And we'll get Abe'd up, which is also mic'd up. You going to tease anything for us?
You want to know about the marathon? I'll tell you about the marathon.
That's not a tease. All right, coming up next on the morning show. Sports Radio 99.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
7:43 on a Friday. This is Bo Morgan. Call me Squid Billy. I call him Abraham Gordon. He's Abe Gordon. Obviously, you know, you want me to go John Fricke on you? Abe Gordon here, man of many hats. Because you do quite a few things. You host pregame for Atlanta United. You produce Andy and Randy. You host ABTL.
Yeah.
You fill in sometimes.
I do.
So here. You're a man of many hats.
Don't forget College Football Game Time.
That's right. That's right.
Final edition of Game Time Saturday.
Hey, what did you think of CBS cutting off old Gary Danielson in the middle of his little goodbye?
What did they cut to? Like evening news?
I believe it was a commercial, or maybe it was evening news. Yeah, it was something like I saw it on Twitter, and I was just like, I don't really care. I don't dislike hearing. I
like
it.
You want like a curmudgeon mean guy take? You're a professional. You have a heart out. Hit it. But that's obviously not like how I actually feel about it.
And that's not his.
That's not how I feel about it.
That's not his specialty. I think a guy's been there like 20 years, something like that. You give him his moment.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If you're gonna say you're gonna give him his moment, give him his moment. That said, like, talk about curmudgeon. At times, Gary could be that dealing with him. But I tend to like hearing him. There's voices that they just sound right calling games, right? And hearing Gary Danielson break down an SEC game always sounded right. Do I think he was? Did I like everything he said? No, I don't think that's the case with anything. Do I think he was right about everything? I mean, I don't know. That's who am I to say? He played the game. I didn't. Guy was a pretty good player at Purdue at one point in time. But I did enjoy him and Brad, and I love Brad Nessler. And Brad thinks I've talked to Brad about Gary, and he thinks the world of Gary. So. Got to go with that. And I know Brad listens sometimes. If you're listening, Brad, feel free to call in. We'll throw you on. We'll talk a little college football with you. I mean, you know, maybe you can shed some light on Indiana, Oregon for us since you did the Big Ten this year. So, anyways, who do you blame for Georgia's loss? Or is it simply time to give credit to the other team because it's not always about blaming your coach or your coaches or your players?
Yeah, I don't know if blame is the right word here. I mean, I can diagnose why I was confident that Georgia would win and what fell apart in the game. And to me, that came down to the improvements we had seen on defense and the lack of what we saw defensively yesterday. I don't think that's anyone's fault. Maybe it was a mirage that we all kind of got suckered into over the past couple of weeks, right? You felt pretty good about how the defense performed against Alabama. Well, Alabama got pushed around yesterday, and so maybe you kind of overstated what Alabama was, and because of that, how Georgia was and how they fared other games down the stretch as well. We thought, and I don't think I'm alone in this, that Georgia had figured out some stuff defensively. They started to get pressure on quarterbacks, and they started to impact games on both sides of the ball, along with Thorsten Woodring and the special teams, right?
Yeah.
That didn't happen yesterday for the most part. And I know they had the turnover fumble. And so, you know, I guess to some extent, what else are you going to ask from them? But that didn't happen as much yesterday. Or did it? And Chambliss rose to meet it because I do think there was pressure. I think many times Trinidad Chambliss escaped pressure and made plays.
Absolutely.
Whether it was a 4-yard gain or whether it was a 40-yard gain, I do give credit as much as I want to. Finger point at Georgia, I think you do have to give credit to a number of different things from Ole Miss. the quarterback play, stand alone. Honestly, Pete Golding, Charlie Weiss Jr., some of the influx and what's going on there with the coaching staff, that didn't turn out to be a factor negatively for them. Although that's impressive. And to some extent, I think you just have to credit them for that.
I got two things because I want to get to both these for you. I don't know how long you need for mic'd up or abed up. But real quick, what do you think about – have you seen the story about the fact that Ole Miss could be basically without some of the coaches and the staff that they had last night? Because some – Charlie Weiss Jr. is the only guy that flew back to Oxford last night. Other guys had to go to Baton Rouge to get ready to hold transfer portal recruits.
Which opened at midnight.
Yes.
Officially.
I'm sorry, but if Lane Kiffin doesn't allow those guys to go do that and coach, it's to me, it is even worse of a look than the stuff he did leaving there.
I agree. I think ultimately they will. I also understand why he felt it important right now to have these guys for a couple of days, and that's something that Pete Golding's got to deal with.
But I
think you're right. I think Lane does eventually will let them do what their previous and now kind of current job is.
I hope so, because if not, then I'd find it hard to believe he would have actually stayed through this entire run. And the team might have been better off for him not being there, to be real with you. They can almost be more unified and focused. And I give Charlie Weiss Jr. a lot of credit. The fact that he wanted to go, I think he wanted to follow Lane. I think that was a thing. But he might be proving that if he has the talent, he can do it on his own as an OC. Because it was a pretty good game plan, obviously, with him getting Trinidad rolling. Hot take. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Kalen DeBoer should fire Ryan Grubb as the offensive coordinator.
Disagree.
Tell me why.
Because Indiana's done that to a lot of teams this year.
Okay. Well, take a step back and think about the inability of an entire season of Alabama to run the football consistently. And at times, just lack of creativity in the run game. And to me, if you're Alabama and you can't run the football, it's not a recipe for winning college football games. Still to this day, it never has been. And I know Spurrier got a lot of knot that he wanted to throw it around. But you go back and look, and Spurrier believed in running the football. I mean, Fred Taylor is a Steve Spurrier product, if you don't remember. And in 97, Fred Taylor, when they were going in between Doug Johnson and Noah Brandeis and Jesse Palmer, you know what they had? A 1,000-yard rusher in Fred Taylor.
I think when I look at the games yesterday, what kind of reminds me, it's kind of a stark reminder, especially when some of the guys maybe aren't stepping up the way that they need to, is that you do still win in these games the old school way. With Ohio State, you've got Tate and Jeremiah Smith, and Jeremiah Smith had a huge game. Tate, quiet, didn't get it done. Bernard and Williams, those two guys combined, didn't get it done. The teams that did, the ones that mauled up front, the ones that did run the ball, like Indiana, it's just a reminder that you're still not at that stage where just two receivers can make the offense.
Yeah, look, and Ryan Williams to me is
a conundrum. What's going on? What's going on? He should be way better.
Well, and I think how much of that is the way he attacks the game on the field. At times it seems hesitant. It seems hesitant. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go. And go, oh,
you think he's got his NFL future in mind? Like from a physical perspective, hesitant? Not trying to make sure he doesn't get hurt, hesitant?
I don't know if it's about the NFL. I don't know if it's about the NFL. I think he's a young kid. Remember,
Vic Beasley disease?
No. I'm not saying Ryan Williams doesn't love the game.
Okay.
What I'm saying is he plays like he wants to avoid contact at times. At times.
So Deion Sanders, but offense, which is a problem.
I don't like that comparison, but yes.
I'm trying to get you on one of these.
Yes, he just likes to avoid contact at all costs.
Mic'd Up / Abed Up, brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. We're down to it. Bo, we talked briefly about a marathon that I've got coming up. I have a race tomorrow. It'll be my last race between now and the Publix Full here in Atlanta, March 1st. That's the marathon I'm
Where's
doing.
Where's it at?
Here in Atlanta.
I know.
Starts down at Home Depot backyard and rolls all over the place. Rolls 26 miles. So
there you go. Thank you.
Kind of goes everywhere.
That's what I was at. Thank you.
I do have the polar opposite tomorrow. I got to go pick up my number. Polar opposite.
Do you run to a lake and you run into it at the end or
something? Nope. It's the reverse Peachtree.
Okay. Cool. All right.
But its actual race team is polar opposite.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. But I'm stuck in it's not a conundrum. Everyone deals with it, all the runners out there. Do you know how crazy expensive running shoes are?
Yeah, actually, and I do. I believe it or not, I do. Do you have to get special ones? Like, do you pronate or anything?
Need to go.
What's the opposite of pronate? The one where your ankles roll out?
Like, yeah, I'm not that scientific with it.
Okay.
I have chosen Hokas for my marathon shoe.
Wow, really?
But I don't love the pair that I have right now.
Were you ever a Brooks guy?
I'm not, like, loyal to anything with the exception of, like, Hokas have been my distance shoe.
Okay.
But I bought new pair this morning online, a different pair of Hokas, because I don't really love the ones I have.
How much you spend?
I got them on sale, but they're $225 or $250.
Wow. Honestly,
and it's just like,
I'm surprised you spent that much on shoes.
Well, I didn't spend that much. I got them on sale, but it's close to that.
So you spent $180. Okay.
I have to go back and look.
It's okay.
Deleted the email.
No, you didn't. But we don't. I'm not going to
out
you.
Well, it's in the app.
It's fine. I'm not going to out you. I'm not trying to be that way. How did you enjoy your cruise?
The cruise was great. Lot of drinking. I got that all out of the system. Like
Good.
You said,
what's your drink on a cruise?
Honestly, I have different nights. And so I'll have either a whiskey night, a rum night, or a vodka night.
Do you only drink at night on the cruise?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Normally. My favorite cruise drinking night is the vodka night. Cause I start with Moscow Mules, have a bunch of those. I roll into like three or four vodka Red Bulls. And then a cruise is like the only time I do this, but I'll close the night out with like five White Russians.
So I'm not the only one at this radio station that'll drink a White Russian.
No, they're delicious.
Oh, I know. I
love White Russians.
But I just don't have them often.
I get crap on this radio show for drinking White Russians. Now, maybe the fact that I'm not afraid to drink a vodka cran either is kind of leads into it.
I don't have a problem with that. If that's your drink, I don't do that. But
I mean, I love a White Russian is a phenomenal dessert drink.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. You can do it with whiskey, too, by the way.
Does it change names?
Well, I mean, it depends on if you want to change the name or not.
Or do you just order White Russian with bourbon?
Well, I normally just do the whiskey Russian at home.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I mean,
Russian?
Huh?
It's not Russian anymore if you have whiskey. So a white Scotsman?
I might be working with the two most semantics at the radio station right now.
A Moscow Mule, when done with whiskey, you change the name to like a Kentucky Mule.
Yeah, it's a Kentucky Mule.
Yeah, I know.
Or if you're doing a Mexican Mule.
A Mexican Mule with tequila, yeah.
It's, okay.
I'm going to make you think.
No, it doesn't.
I just didn't know if it changed
I love
names.
You guys so much.
I don't know if I would like a White Russian with whiskey
it's
and not
still
vodka.
Good, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, it really is.
Whiskey and milk?
Well, the next time / first time I'm invited over to the...
Or Kahlua.
Squidbilly household. Yeah, yeah. I'll try one. You like that? Me forcing my way in?
You know what? Dude, you can come over whenever you want, man. Have at it. Even if you get to maybe babysit a little bit. Who knows? All right, coming up next, we got the wake-up call. I want you guys to call in at 404-726-0929. Give us your take on the UGA loss. Who do you think's to blame? Or if it's just give credit to Ole Miss. And, what's your feeling on Falcons Saints on Sunday? Morning Shift, Sports Show, 99 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.